ministry is not a calling that you choose, and it's not a decision you make. It's one that God makes sovereignly, and he chooses whom he will. And woe betide you if you set out to be a minister without the true calling of God. You are going to make shipwreck, not only of your life, but of other people's. And so it is so important to understand. I find people get baptized in the Spirit, speak in tongues, and think they're called of God. And they make such a mess. What's my commissioning? Got to know. The word evangelism can be traced through Middle English, Old French, and Latin to the Greek word for messenger, evangel, messenger. And you'll also find evangel denotes the content of the message, that is, good news or gospel. I find a lot of people, when they go out, they want to preach hellfire. Want to tell people, you know, hellfire. They've got this Puritan idea of sinners in the hands of an angry God. And, you know, God's going to get you. And thank goodness, that's old covenant. And I'm glad Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he never preached new covenant, he preached old covenant. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He said what was going to be, but the church was never born till the day of Pentecost, because we're baptized by one spirit into one body, and it couldn't start till the day of Pentecost, because Christ hadn't ascended into heaven and presented the blood in the Holy of Holies to God the Father. And until that happened, there never was anyone born again. So you have to understand that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. Now, in fulfilling it, it's over. So all the promises of God in the Old Testament were fulfilled in Christ. The law and the prophets were fulfilled in Christ. So if you're one of these people that spends your time looking for promises in the Old Covenant, I want to tell you it's passed away. We've got better promises and a better hope in Jesus Christ. And lots of the kind of teachings that go on today are Old Covenant teachings, because the people haven't become Christians. They're Jews. And they go to the Old Testament. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, fine. They're not God's people if that's how they're living. The Jews turned away. They were God's nation. But in the new covenant, God's people are the people who are baptized in the Spirit, repented of their sins, got their lives cleaned up. So you can't apply 2 Corinthians 7:14 to Christians. 2 Chronicles 7:14 to Christians. You can't apply it. It doesn't apply. Because we aren't in rebellion against God. We're not living in wicked ways. We're actually born again. Christ lives in us. Amen? But it's amazing how people go and they take an old covenant promise, and they don't realize it was all fulfilled in Christ. It's over. It don't exist anymore. Wonderful. You know, and people go to Bible school to learn stupidities. Paul declared that the ability to proclaim the gospel is a grace given, a gift. So much so that the risen one himself comes and preaches. One of the things you have to understand about preaching is it's not what you are or what you think. It's Christ in you. And I want to emphasize the fact that a lot of the preaching and a lot of the teaching is mental, not spiritual. Now, we need to use our minds and we need to be educated, but in the end, You've got to know how to move out of your realm into his realm, and you've got to know how to let Christ speak through you. You've got to be able to hear from heaven. You've got to be able to see the divine. When you come into a meeting, you've got to see what God's doing. You've got to hear what God's doing. And it's all by the word, not by feelings. By the word. And you actually have to be able to hear. And I find most people don't know God. You have to know him. And most pastors preach hopefully, not in faith. They hope things will happen. But actually, you have to be able to see what's happening. And you have to be able to see what God's doing. And you have to be able to hear what he's saying. And Jesus said this. He said, you know, what I can do nothing of myself. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. What I hear the Father say, that's what I speak. And there has to be a sense in which if you don't move into that realm, you'll never bring life. Because life is Christ. Christ is life. Paul said, I live, nevertheless not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. But it's life you live in the flesh. You know, Christ has come in our flesh. Christ is in our flesh. I find so many Christians are caught up with this. Oh no, we're one spirit with God's spirit. No, Christ has come in our flesh. When you see someone, you don't see their spirit, you see their flesh. The spirit that's in them is manifest in their flesh. It's spooky if you think you see their spirit. Now, I see the spirit that's in them by the manifestation of their flesh. I know those spirits. When I come in on a Sunday morning, I can look round. And while I'm preaching, I can see who God's healing. And by the end of the service, I can call people out. I say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've got arthritis. Have you really? Oh, yes. Well, just try running up and down. And they found, I know they're healed already. They just don't know it. So you just have to get them to do it, see? But you have to know and see. And there aren't many people who seem to see. And if you don't know that, don't call yourself a minister. You have to see what Father's doing. You have to hear what he's saying. And that is normal Christianity. I haven't got a gift of miracles, and I'm not a healer. But I know someone who is. His name is Jesus, and he lives in me. And so I hear and I see. And I can't explain to anyone how. There is no methodology in it. It's just the way it is. Someone asked me once, they said, what is your secret of miracles? And I said, if I told you, it wouldn't be secret anymore. I'd lose it. There is no secret. There's no secret. It's just an awareness. I can walk into a meeting and just come in on a Sunday morning and look. And I just see someone. I know that's his day or her day for a miracle. And sometimes I get them to move the people to a place where I can get easily to them. Now, how do I know? I know. And when you know, you know. And if you can see into the invisible, it helps. But how do you explain to someone who doesn't see what seeing is? How do you explain the different tones of blue sky to a person with no eyes? How do you explain? You can't. Them that knows, knows. And if you don't know, you don't know. And you need to get born again. That's it. And once you're born again, it's easy. That's why I wrote a book. It's so easy. Because really, Christianity is easy. For those that see and know. And evangelism's easy. Think about it. We're going to look at it. Paul declared that the source of evangelism was God, and those undertaking it are empowered by his Spirit. That's Acts 1:8. Do you know, it's God who does it. Let me tell you something. Without miracles, you have nothing. And think of this. Jesus had the multitudes come out because they heard about the miracles. He got a crowd without music. He got a crowd without gimmicks. And believe it or not, we get a crowd here. And every Sunday, people come from all over. The reason they come from all over, and they fly in from Europe, they fly in from America, they know they can get a miracle. Miracles bring people. It's easy to build a crowd. When I go to places like Cameroon, I was in Ghana, Kumasi a few months ago, it just takes one miracle. And the crowds rush. And you know, it spreads like wildfire. Because miracles are easy. He does them. If you've got a church where you have problem getting people in, it's just because you haven't got miracles. Miracle a day keeps the devil away. You have to have miracles. No miracles, no Jesus. Is that plain? And so I just expect miracles. And because I expect God to do what he does what he does. Because he do. And it's easy. And if I was one of these people that was religious and thought that, well, you know, it's just a matter of persuading people. No. That's not what counts. What counts is God doing it. Evangelism is a descriptive term for the activity of making known in the power of the Holy Spirit the good news of God's salvation. When you want to let people know about salvation and redemption, we're redeemed body, soul, and spirit. When I get up to preach, I take Bible stories, and usually I'm talking in Africa or South America. I'll just take a simple Bible story and just talk. I don't spend a long time trying to do a three-point landing. I just talk the Bible story. Jesus sat down and talked. And if you're going to teach people, you need to make it in simple language. And you need to use life illustration. And you need to have the goods to perform what you say. And if you can't do it in simplicity, then you make the whole thing complicated. And it isn't complicated. Nothing's complicated in Christ. And I find, you know, you take any story, and there's such beauty in Scripture. It's not merely proclaiming the message, it's being the message, a total way of life. It's amazing. Whenever I travel, you know, people like the woman in the car park outside Walmart's. Hey, you are the message. And you've got to understand, it's not proclaiming the message, it's being the person. You know something? The church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. And you have to have a man of God, called of God, sent of God, with the power of God. And otherwise you don't have a church. And when that man dies, what do you do? Well, you bury him. That's what you do. But you'll never reproduce ministry. And I find too many people are trying to reproduce or hand it down to their family. You know, it becomes a family business. You can hand a butcher's shop down, but you can't hand ministry down. My son and my daughter, they're in the church. Well, my two daughters are in the church, and my son is in the church. I told him he'd go into the ministry over my dead body. People have said to me, well, don't you think you should groom up your son? Not at all. Now, if God calls him, God better call him and equip him, but I won't give him any help. Why? It's not a family business. Would to God that pastors learn that it's not something they can, you know, we're not in the old Levitical priesthood where you kind of pass it down. And if you see churches like that, avoid them like the plague. Because it is a plague. Is that plain? No, I don't ever want to mislead people. My friend, Archbishop Benson Ederhoser, he's gone home to be with the Lord. We traveled the world together. We saw tremendous miracles everywhere we went. Part of what we were. But when he went home to be with the Lord, he went home. Now, I tell you something. No one can take his place. Now, God might raise up someone else, but it won't be Benson Ederhoser. Man of faith. And God raised up people. He raised up a Wigglesworth, but there weren't two Wigglesworths. He raised up an Amy Semple McPherson. He raised up a Catherine Coleman. He raised up an Oral Roberts. He raised up a T.L. He raises men up. When they're gone, they're gone. Amen. There are two distinctives. Gospel preaching and spirit empowered. Now, the gospel is simple. Christ did it all. If you don't believe in the total redemption by Jesus Christ, and I can add nothing to what he's done, nothing at all. There is nothing I can do, no prayer, there is no fasting, there's no nothing I can do to add to what Christ has done. Healing and miracles come through his atoning power. Deliverance comes through his atoning power. Transformation of life comes through his delivering power. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Everything has been done by Christ. We cannot add to it. We cannot in any way enhance it. We cannot better it. We cannot help it. He did it all. And the good news is, it's done. The bad news is you can't get involved in it. We're co-workers together with God. And God does the work and we run the company. In other words, we're here to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and all we do is we watch him work. And the only thing we are is vessels to allow him to do what he wants to do. Is that plain? Hello? Very simple. Now, it's got to be Spirit-empowered. Can't be with enticing words of man's wisdom. It's got to be in demonstration of the Spirit and power. I love that. Years ago, I used to go over to Holland, and it was at a time, must have been 15, 20 years ago now, and it was a time when they were all into the worship. It was last time worship came round. It's coming round again, you know, coming round the mountain again. And they were all into worship, and they'd sing and they'd do stuff. And I hate that kind of false thing. So we met in a stable, a block, and they were training Olympic horses downstairs. You know, training horses for the Olympics, you know, and dressage and everything. And we had a room upstairs. Well, it's biblical to be in a stable, isn't it? So we were up there, and the pastors came, miserable pastors, Dutch pastors, always miserable. And miserable people came. And one thing I did, I said, we'll have no music. And some of the pastors came. You can't have a meeting without music. Because it was all the worship, you know. God can't move without music. So I used to go there and I'd open my Bible and I'd say, right, turn to so-and-so. And I would just right off the bat preach. And when I'd preach for, you know, a short while, an hour, hour and a half, I'd say, now, just to prove that what I'm telling you is true, God's going to, and I'd look on the front row, find someone all crippled in a wheelchair and say, God's going to get this person out of the wheelchair. Now, these pastors, they got so angry, especially when she got out of the wheelchair and started running. They were so angry. That's arrogance. You can't say God's going to do it to prove you're right. But I did. He did. And it's nice to be able to do that. Because that stuffs them. What's their argument? It was funny. One woman fell down. She went to a conference in Holland. She fell down the stairs and smashed her elbows. And she was up to the top of her arms in plaster. Her elbows smashed and whatever it is down there. Whatever it is, bone. What's this bone in there? What? What is it? Well, that's it. I don't know. Anyway, she'd broken up, and they said that it would take her at least a year to recover. So I asked her, I said, where did that happen? She said, I went to this conference centre, she said. Felt slipped down the steps. I said, don't go there anymore. Good advice. I mean, no point in going and getting two broken arms, is there? Anyway, she came, and so I prayed with her. And they were shattered. And they said after, the bones knitted, it would take probably 6 to 12 months of physiotherapy to be able to use them again. So I prayed with her, and God touched her. So when she got home, she got a knife and she cut the plaster off and she was completely healed. Bones healed, everything. So she went to the church on a Sunday and she gave a testimony to the church of how God had healed her. And the pastor was enraged. How dare you go to another meeting to get healed? You should get healed here. She said, but you did pray for me and nothing happened. Well, you've no business going there. So he banned all his church from coming to my meetings. So she said to him, well, she said, just a minute, Pastor. She said, was my healing of God or was it of the devil? And he said, well, I suppose it's of God. She said, well, why shouldn't people who are sick go to his meetings? And so the pastor turned around and said, all right, he said, if anyone wants to go to that man's meetings, you mustn't go on your own. Take someone with you. So I got double the number of people. I thought that was great. Great guy. Oh, dear. Aren't people... The devil's crazy, you know. You know? The only means of evangelism in the early church was preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel. Be familiar with the truths of the gospel. Have them vibrant and living in you. You've got to have your thought patterns steeped in biblical phraseology. You should know gospel truth. The thing is, people out there are crying out for help. They're looking for answers. But the answer's in the Word of God, not in your psychological mumbo-jumbo. People do not need healing of their memories. They need to learn to forget their past. They've got a future. The power is not in evangelism in itself, but in the good news communicated, the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, which brings about the new birth. We're born again of the incorruptible word of God. You cannot be born again of an idea or a decision. A decision will not bring new birth. It's the incorruptible word of God gets inside when you don't want it to. God saved me when I was trying to prove he didn't exist. This idea that somehow, you know, God's just waiting for you to make your decision. You won't get born again unless you're birthed from God. You're born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You're born of God. And it's all of God and nothing of you. And if it's something of you, you're not born. It's a deception. Is that plain? Hello? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You know, it's a power gospel. And you're a witness. But you're a witness to power. You're a witness to miracles. You're a witness to healing. You're a witness to all of the redemption story because it's happened in you. And if it hasn't happened in you, you witness to nothing. When I was a young man and I was 23, I ended up being attacked by someone with two carving knives. Didn't just have one, he had two. Now, I will take on anyone with one carving knife and I'll flatten them. But two is a different matter. That's the fact. You know, I was in the police and I know how to take someone with a knife. But he had two. And strangely enough, if you know, when someone's got two carving knives, you're going to get stuck one way or the other. And so I hopped out the window. And it ended up, I fractured my spine, two places. And they told me I'd never walk again. Now, I ended up in hospital. And the fact was, you know, I thought it was better to run away and live another day than to stand there and get stabbed. And so I hopped out the window. I drove to the police station and told them they caught the guy. But the thing was that I'd fractured my spine. And when I got to the police station, I told them what had happened and then collapsed. I found I couldn't walk. So they took me to the hospital, x-rayed me and got a double fracture of the spine. Said I'd never walk again. Now, someone prayed for me over the telephone because he wasn't there. I was in hospital. And I prayed for me over the telephone and God healed me. And it took me 2 days to get them to cut the blinking plaster off. I was plastered. And I was in hospital. The guy prayed for me, and God healed me. And I got them to cut it off finally, and they re-x-rayed me, and there was no fracture. They got the one lot with the fractures and the next lot without the fractures. Now, we've got a God who's a miracle-working God. I remember one time I was working. We were building a house, and you know I'm actually quite practical when I want to be. But after I got married, I couldn't knock a nail in. But when I needed to be practical, I earned enough money to get someone else to do it. But when my wife, but oh dear, you've got to have fun. But when I was there, I was out working, and I was holding a big chisel, and we were trying to break through a wall, and a man missed with a mallet, you know, one of these big mallets, a sledgehammer. He missed the thing and hit my hand, smashed it. I caught hold of it, and I said, oh dear. And prayed, and God completely healed it. Didn't even have a bruise from a smash to nothing. Our God is a good God. And things happen. You know, life is life. Now, I'm not a mechanic. One time I was driving somewhere and my car broke down. And it was the middle of the night and it was miles out in the country. And I didn't know what to do. So I got out, lifted the hood, or bonnet, is it? Which one is it here? Bonnet. I never know which side of the Atlantic I'm on. Bonnet. I lifted it up and I said, Lord, I don't know what's wrong, but I have to get home. And I put my hand on the engine, not the engine, the filter cover. And I said, Lord, cause it to be healed. Got back in the car, turned the starter, drove home. Now, you figured it out. I don't know. How did God do it? I don't know. I've seen miracles happen, miracle after miracle. Our gospel's a miracle gospel. And all sorts of odd things have happened in my life. The miracle power of God exhibited it in a miracle way. When I was, it's in my new book, which you haven't got yet because I haven't published it. But when I was a very young child, I suppose I was 6. And my brother and I used to go down to the beach. And in those days, a child could go to the beach on their own without getting molested. That was, you know, in those days. Wouldn't risk it with kids today, unfortunately. But in my day, you could leave your back door open. You know, no one would come in and steal anything. Because we hadn't got anything worth stealing, but no, we had. But I went down with my brother, and we were playing on a breakwater, and a wave came and washed me off, and I couldn't swim. And I suddenly realized, I felt with my foot the breakwater, you know, just sliding away. I was swept off, and I was drowning. And I wasn't a church girl. I didn't know anything except what my grandmother taught me in prayer when I was 4. And she went to church. My parents didn't. My father was against religion, as was my mother. But the thing was, I felt that the breakwater go. And as I was going unconscious, I remember saying, oh God, here I come. I knew I was God's. Didn't know how I knew, I just knew. I remember saying it. And the bubbles came, my eyes were open, the bubbles went up. And I knew I couldn't swim, and I knew I couldn't get back. The wave had taken me out. And an amazing thing happened. There was a woman on the promenade, sitting eating her lunch. And as she was eating her lunch, she looked up, and she saw a little hand just break through the surface of the waves. And she dived off. And dived out, pulled me out unconscious. And I'm here today because God alerted a woman to see a little hand. And she pulled me to safety. And you know, I often think, you know, all through my life, God put his hand on my life. And our gospel is a good gospel. You know, God loves us. And even when I was an enemy of God, his son was redeeming me. And he was there to save me and to meet me. And the gospel is good news. We need to go out and tell people how wonderful our God is. What we need to stop doing is stop telling people what a mean, horrible, vengeful, angry God we have. He's not like that at all. He's a loving Heavenly Father. I'm his child. He loves me. And I always was. From the beginning of the world, the foundation of the world, I was in him. And he thinks I'm wonderful. And he's right. And you know, he thinks you're wonderful because he doesn't buy rubbish with the blood of his son. And you need to get a different perspective on God. I find so many people abuse God by misinforming about his personality and his nature. My God is a good God. Something good's going to happen to you. Why? Because it's his nature to bless. The devil comes to steal. The devil comes to kill. The devil comes to destroy. My Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you've got to start preaching gospel, good news, and stop preaching superstition and witchcraft. Oh, you know, what did your mother do and your grandmother do? Oh, you got a curse come down. I mean, it's just rubbish. You might as well go and read the horoscope in the newspapers. It's just about as sensible as that. Stupid. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians and charismatic Christians, that's what they preach and teach. It's wrong. It's a lie. Evangelism is not only sharing the good news, but confronting people with the bad news about their alienation from God. Do you know, there are people who need to know they're alienated from God. I tell preachers, you are insulting God by what you preach. That's terrible. How dare you misrepresent my God? And they have a total misrepresentation of God. He's a vengeful, angry, if you make a mistake, God's going to get you type. And you know, well, God's not like that at all. We're his children. And he's on our side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And I find it's important. It's bounced a few times. Is that it? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, when you recover, it means you get back to health. Sickness kills. And it will never make you holy. So don't let anyone ever tell you that sickness sanctifies. It doesn't. It kills. Disease kills. It never sanctifies. That is a load of hogwash. Okay? Oral Roberts on evangelism. The wooden cross that stood on Calvary is gone. The Christ who hung thereon is ascended and reigns from heaven. Outwardly, we see the cross no more. But Jesus, the person, lives on. And in him, the lost, straying, suffering multitudes of every generation may find perfect deliverance. I like this. Jesus Christ is as real today as when the multitude saw him with their physical eyes. He is a spiritual reality, the center of the plan of redemption of humanity, spirit, soul, and body. And Oral, in one of his best-loved tent sermons, you'll find that's what he said. I believe in the total redemption of man. I believe that Christ has made a way for all of us to enter in healing, deliverance, and we need to do nothing except proclaim it. and people will experience it. And then T.L. Osborne, great friend. No non-Christian religion offers forgiveness for sins, healing for diseases, security for fear, hope for despair, solutions for problems, relief for pain, life for death, transformation. These blessings comprise the essence of Christ's gospel. That is why people of all religions are attracted to our campaigns. They listen, they believe, they receive, and they are blessed. It's lovely to be able to go out and say, hey, you know, Muhammad doesn't heal, but Jesus does. Muhammad doesn't open blind eyes, but Jesus does. Muhammad doesn't cause cancers to wither, but Jesus does. And then you prove it. Then they see it. And our gospel is such a wonderful gospel. That's in the book, The Message That Works. And, I mean, it's a great book. I believe in taking what's good and sharing it with the world. Evangelism's about proclaiming Christ and letting people know Jesus is alive and he can change everything in your life. Commissioned to preach, exhort, plead, reason with unbelievers from the scriptures, but remember that we are merely commissioned to call people to faith in Christ. We cannot produce salvation in others. Only the purpose of God and the work of the Holy Spirit can do it. You know, I think it was D.L. Moody was walking down a road with a man, and they saw a drunk, an alcoholic, lying in the gutter. And a person who was with D.L. Moody say, there, Mr. Moody, there's one of your converts. And D.L. Moody turned around and said, yes, he said, he was one of my converts. If only he'd be one of Christ, he wouldn't be lying there. I like that. That's the truth. You see, when God does it, it's real. If someone follows a man, they've had it. But we point them to Christ. And with Christ, everything's possible. Find that in John 6:37. It's so important to go to Scripture, always. It's the only thing. I've seen so many miracles, so many things happen. I've always found the gospel is easy. I was talking with a couple of students. Excuse me, I must swig this coffee because it's too good to leave. I was talking to some students, unbelievers. I explained to them how wonderful Christ was. In the end, they turned to me and said, it's too simple. It can't be that easy. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They don't believe how easy it is. You know, the gospel's been made so complicated. People have put so many barriers in people's way. But if you really preach the simplicity of Christ, you'll find people come into it with great ease. And there's not all the stress and all the, you know, you've got to read your Bible an hour a day. You've got to speak in tongues an hour a day. They just don't ever do any. Have you noticed these people? They never go and pray for the sick. They don't do the goods. But they tell you, you can become a millionaire if you send them money. Christ sent me to heal the sick, not to fleece their wallets. That's why in our church, we don't take collections. I won't have a collection. Why? Because I see all the crooks out there trying to screw money out of people. I'm lying to them. And I never want to do it. God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And he wants to fill you with his life. And it's time the church woke up. Now, do I believe in tithing? Yeah, it's a biblical principle. But I tell you, in this church, and I've been here 30 years, come November, 30 years, you can count on two hands the number of times I've preached on tithing in 30 years. But you go to some churches, and every week they get up and they have someone kind of give a word for the offering. Give a word, the pastor's dog's hungry. Give a word, he needs a car. Hey, come on. That's not gospel. That's crooks. You're a thief. And I'll tell you what, God will hold you to account for it. If you give the goods, people will give. If they get their needs met, they'll give. The reason you have to screw money out of them is because you're not called to the ministry. If you were, you wouldn't be selling it. And I want to challenge you, stop it. The gospel is good news. Go to church to get impoverished. No. Go to church to be healed, to be delivered, be lifted up, to be made strong. God is a good God. Amen.